Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you need everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light.
Is your family. You have to protect them from those guys, okay?
Make the money. Don't let it make you.
You had me at hello.
And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
This is I'm Here for the Food.
What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and your soul. I'm Melissa.
I'm Blue. And I'm Daisy.
So for those of you who are listening, rather than watching, you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, my dog Daisy is making her debut.
Yay! Welcome, Daisy.
So also, I want to thank you guys for subscribing. iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, that's where you can catch us. And we just wanted to kind of address something really quickly. As you might notice, we're missing somebody here. Chantel Anderson, we are so grateful that she was able to participate in the show up until now, but she's gone on to build her own platform.
It's called Confidently His. Yeah, please check that out. We're going to make sure to link to it at the end of this episode.
Yeah, so you can keep up with her. But yeah, we had to make a little bit of a cast change. So what we're going to do is we are going to have a rotating third chair.
So exciting.
Yeah. And what we want to do is we want to incorporate you guys into the choice that we make for our final, for the final, you know, decision. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have some amazing women and maybe a couple of guys.
That would be interesting.
And see what happens to the dynamic of the conversation if we have a male co-host.
I like where you're going with it.
Yeah. This is something that we'll try out. We're going to get really experimental in the first few months of the new year. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we are going to do is we'll come to a decision or allow you guys to help us make the decision. Maybe in the beginning of spring. So maybe in April, you know, we should have had enough interaction with quite a few people to make an informed decision.
And our audience is so opinionated.
Mm-hmm. You'll let us know who you like and who you don't.
Yeah, our audience we're very opinionated. So we actually welcome it. Like we always say, we have no problem catching the smoke. Mm-hmm. And also, I just want to address it. Like, if you see me and Chantel somewhere, like, having drinks, well, she'll probably have salsa water. Mm. We're still good. Like, there's no, like, sexy backstory.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes people have to move on to create their own thing, and we welcome that. So I want to see who our people are going to be at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see who comes in and out. You know who's done this a lot? The View. Yeah. I remember when I used to watch The View, I would always be curious about who they were going to have as their special guest. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can naturally tell who they're going to choose because there's a natural chemistry there. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm excited to see what chemistry just like organically evolves from this process.
Yeah. I think that the choices that we're going to make are going to be people who are extraordinarily opinionated, and the opinions that they have, you know, kind of put into the ether are wildly opposing to, you know, my thought process or Blue's thought process. So
yeah, we do not want a doppelganger.
Yeah.
I feel like one Blue and one Melissa.
Yeah. And then one crazy different person, you know, so that's our goal. That's our intention. So we filmed our Christmas holiday episode last night.
Yeah, we did.
My brain is still kind of mush.
Look at poor Daisy. Can we just pan to Daisy? Daisy is how we feel right now because Daisy was at the Christmas party.
Don't look at me.
Yeah. Daisy's our spirit animal. For those of you who can't see it, Daisy is looking at Melissa like, help me.
Oh, bubba.
And that's a phrase that was uttered many times last night, mostly by me, as you're about to see in the next episode.
Yeah.
I'm apologizing in advance for whatever I did. Mm-hmm. You're going to be seeing it for the first time like I am, mm-hmm. because we had some edible arrangements. Mm-hmm. I'm Here for the Food has food in the title.
Yeah.
And you guys constantly make fun of us for not having food on the show. Mm-hmm. Well, you're about to find out what happens when your wishes come true.
Yeah, we had some food. So I want to, you know, give a shout out to Chef Buds. He came to the studio, prepared our food that was infused with THC and cannabis.
And he's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he's a very attractive.
I really like his face. Yeah, which I hope that wasn't like, I wasn't sexually harassing him.
No.
But I really enjoyed Chef Bud's face.
Yeah.
And for those of you who love mukbangs, a couple of our guests forgot not to chew in the mic, so you're going to get to enjoy that. ASMR, shout out to that. I'm going to apologize in advance for any chewing or fried chicken flew in the air at some point. I hope you guys don't edit that out. At some point, it went completely left. You're going to know when that point comes. And there was fried chicken flying over my head as I was attempting to cue us out of the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is going to be us having a very fun, but experimental installment of I'm Here for the Food.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I think we should have more parties.
I agree.
I liked it.
We've been discussing what we want to do with the show and how we can incorporate our fan base,
yep,
our supporters, the people, you know, you guys that have been there since episode one. We want to start figuring out how we can start having, engagement kind of events,
right,
where we can do meet and greets. We can drink some wine. We need some food, and we could talk about, you know, some of the things that we discuss on the show,
right,
and whatever you guys want to talk about. Like we're so open to that. So we're really trying to get together a really innovative schedule of, you know, events and guests,
yep,
for the coming year. And it's all just to reward you guys for being so diehard and supporting us along the way. So,
yay.
Yeah, coming right up, we've got our Christmas special episode. So keep it locked here.
Don't judge us.
All right. What's up, everybody? This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and hopefully your soul. I am Melissa.
I'm Blue.
And we're joined by some friends. Okay, so to Blue's right, I had to right.
Yeah, my right
hand, I do this right. Okay, then we got Obi Aris.
Yeah,
there
Obi
we
Aris.
Go.
Yeah.
Obi Aris. He is a cartoonist and an illustrator, okay, and just an all around fly guy. And Blue's bestie.
What yeah happens?
Blue's bestie?
Oh, we just found this up. That's wonderful.
Am I mistaken? Oh, shit.
Don't mess with my street cred.
Okay.
Yes.
And over here to my left is one of my very good friends, Angel Conwell. She is an actress and a producer. You've seen her in a ton of stuff that you love. Cult classics like Baby Boy. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
Wow.
And I can't wait to tell you guys about the story about how we actually met. Do you remember?
I can't wait to hear it again. Wait.
The video?
Ooh. I remember.
Yeah.
But you might remember different details.
Well, that's going to be important.
It's all in the details.
It's all in the details. Okay.
Ooh, scandal.
And then over here is
last
another,
but not least, baby. You there, already know what it is.
A man who needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyways. A very good friend of mine, Kendall Kindle.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Entrepreneur, ooh, extraordinaire, television personality, actor. I mean, your resume just goes on.
It just
goes
on and on. All you had to do is say Kendall, and they already know.
That's
so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. Light flex. Light flex.
Like everyone, they said y'all had like swag and stuff. And I was just like, I'm Obi. Like, I wish I would have put some more up.
You could put some more sauce on it.
You were supposed to. It was your time to shine.
Oh. Kendall said, you get it where you fit in, honey.
We'll just find out later.
So we decided to have a little bit of a Christmas party.
Yeah, we did.
For, you know, our Christmas episode. This is going to air on December 24th. December 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So happy holidays, you know, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad. What is all the rest?
Christmas Kwanzaa.
Happy full moon.
There we
for
go.
For those of you who, you know, three, go three into the woods.
What did Jehovah's celebrate? Nothing. Just hey.
You're Jehovah's?
No, just I'm asking anybody in the room. You know,
rumors get started over.
I don't know. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Holiday overall season to you and yours. And today we've got a sponsored episode.
We got a coin.
It's our first sponsor. Okay, though, I wanted to give a shout out to Rachel Madison from BMP Beverly Hills. That's my publicist. And Chef Buds, who has provided the food. He's going to be coming into the room and distributing the food as it's laid out. Some of the food has been laced with some yummy goodness. THC.
Mm-mm. And you have to guess what it is. Just put it in your mouth and hope for the best. Right, guys?
Yeah. No.
And And our friends over at Shotbox have also provided the libations, which is why Kendall is wearing his robe, because I'm sure a lot of you already know he does cocktails and robes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hashtag. It's a movement.
Know.
What
no
you
idea.
Thought? You thought I wore this to nothing? Baby.
Okay. Baby. It's a movement. So, yeah, and all of that stuff over there, it's all going to be consumed during the course of...
All of it?
So you saying I got to make a drink?
I mean, you don't really have to, because you're really, your drink making skills have, whoa, I'm impressed. And I used to be a bartender.
And I wasn't a bartender. I just.
You start
alcoholic.
Winging it.
Mm-hmm. Alcoholic.
Just. Oh, okay. Okay.
Again, that's how rumors get started.
Yeah.
Not alcoholic. I just like to drink.
Yeah. So we didn't exactly bring mixers because all of the stuff that comes in the shot box is really, really interesting. Like absinthe.
I'm scared of that. Mm.
Whoa, that could create like
hallucinations.
Melissa, put that
that's
down.
That's the stuff medicinal? That was on Girls Crew.
Yeah, put that down. Melissa, no, Jada Pinkett. Don't do that.
Are you about to say
there are no grapefruits here. This is going
to
go left really fast. Don't dare. Okay, Kofi, stop. Let's go.
You got it.
That's why.
Take it to the head.
Infamous last moment.
That's not enough.
Okay, I can do it. If you can do it, I can do it.
That's not enough. You need a bigger shot. Take a bigger hit than that.
Let me show you how real G does it.
But wait till you taste that.
I like probably gasoline. Had worse.
That
Ready?
Is not for the faint of heart.
I have a lotion made of that. Of
you know, I'm about to put it in my mouth.
You know what it tastes like? It tastes like black licorice. Huh. That's what that tastes like. It's.
But Jaeger bombs do too.
Oh, God, Jaeger.
I might do this or not. I need support.
Jaeger bomb, that's the white man shot.
I need y'all to be
bad memories.
You do that in college.
Want to take some Jaeger?
Go. Support.
Thank you, focus.
Yes. Come on.
Okay, ready?
You want to take the bottle?
Oh, my God.
Oh. Well, I mean. She's in rice.
Party trick, guys.
Merry Christmas.
You draw?
No.
Oh, but you got two best friends here, Lord Jesus.
That hugged me from the inside, y'all.
She ride with me. I'll take that shit.
Really? That's all it took?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, listen. You guys is hitting me in the back of my head.
Oh, my goodness.
It's knocking you out.
She can be hanging out the window like Queen
punching your ass.
Oh, my God.
Douche.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, other things that are in this shot box include huckleberry-flavored liqueur. Coffee flavored liqueur.
That's what
this
you
seems
get.
More up my speed. This
yeah, coffee.
Screwball peanut butter whiskey.
Mm. I can't feel my throat.
That's what you get over there trying to show out in front of company.
Oh my God. Who's on D are you?
You couldn't just make a little drink.
No,
you gotta go full throttle.
So Blue, her throat is probably used to this.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
I'm only saying this because Blue was, she would tell me to go to the grocery store and be like, yo, can you give me some tea called Throat Coat?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, I drink Throat Coat.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
It's very medicinal.
Yeah, it's very, it's medicinal. Medicinal.
Yeah,
something.
The yogi,
the brand.
It makes your throat relaxed.
Yeah.
She wanted to go to get Throat Coat. She said, Obi, give me a box of Throat Coat and one banana. You know how it would look?
Potassium.
I'm about to go. I can't.
If I go get a banana and some Throat Coat. How do
you
I
got it for me, though.
Cashier?
You got it, though, didn't you? Thank you, friend.
I had to add extra shit in there that I didn't need.
He getting bread and eggs, candy bar. Yeah,
look, I was sick.
Like,
I needed potassium.
Like fucking loofahs and shit. Like,
okay, well, listen. I want to give our guests a chance to, you know, pop
goodness.
The collar and, you know, brag about themselves a little bit. So let's start with you, Obi, since you feel like your introduction left a lot to be desired. You pump yourself up, honey.
Wow.
Tell everybody what you're working on. The sweatshirt is one of your designs.
Show it off.
Show off the design.
Nice.
And tell them what happens when you... It's like magical. Your sweatshirt is magical. It does something magical. Help me out.
All right, so I'm an illustrator, artist, cartoonist. One thing that I'm doing with these sweatshirts, it is my holiday sweatshirt, and it is infused with iTouch... AR technology that when you scan the QR code, it takes you to my AR site. And so when you use your camera phone, when you actually scan the shirt with your camera phone, my cartoon character pops up and starts doing, like, my holiday cartoon character pops up and starts doing dances. Like, it does the floss, does the Millie Rock, does the whoa, all those things. And the character designed off my comic strip character that I create on my Instagram. That's kind of like how I got my quote-unquote, like, claim to fame.
Uh-huh.
And social media was through my cartoons and my illustrations, especially those comic strips. And those comic strips are based on kind of like real life situations.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do with my cartoons that I create is that whenever we're seeing something's animated, it's about black people, uh-huh. it's usually talking about black versus white.
So, right.
Instead, I love cartoons like Bob's Burgers. I love like Family Guy. I love mm-hmm. The Simpsons. However, we don't have anything as people of color that we can just watch and enjoy without having to be racially, you know, baited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Boondocks is a great show, but however, every time you watch the Boondocks, it's always black versus white.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted my cartoons to show that, yo, just because we're black people don't mean we don't have regular issues.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do have, you know, student debt. We do have relationship problems. We do have like being broke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. Where I want a cartoon that stars black people that anybody of any color can watch.
Like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Well, that Seinfeld was like, in the cartoon.
No, I'm talking about like Seinfeld was about everyday life.
Oh, okay,
life.
Yeah, everyday life. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be something spectacular. It could just be a regular slice of life kind of situation.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay,
and
all right.
If I'm not doing that, I'm probably like watching cartoons and anime and...
Okay, so you know what we're going
to
do?
He's a black nerd.
Yeah, clearly. So we'll provide, purchase link information at the end of the episode.
That's
for
what I'm
people.
Talking about.
Come on now.
Appreciate sister. Come holidays on now. Coming up.
If you ain't going to support your friends, if you cannot count on the support from your friends, then like... Really, honestly, our friends have got to be the wind in our backs.
Help me.
You know what I'm saying?
You still feeling it?
She's dying. How can we win in herself? Honey?
I swear, if you pass out, no one's going to feel sorry for you.
No, I feel wonderful. It's just too early to feel this wonderful, but go ahead.
Okay, so Angel.
Yeah.
Isn't she just so beautiful?
That's
she's
really
so
sweet.
Beautiful. I love you.
I've always loved you. You know how I feel.
I know. But you know what? When we first met, we were kind of like giving each other the like...
Were we?
You know what, Melissa?
See, okay. Now listen. We have two different versions.
I want to hear. So let me set the stage. Let me tell it. Story time. Picture this. Sicily, 1912, right? Okay. It's New York City.
Yes.
It's 9/11.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. We were shooting... Eric Sermon had a video called Hot Like Fire. Who remembers that song?
Hot Like an Oven or something like
no,
that.
No, it was Hot Like Fire. Like Fire.
And it was.
And Angel was the lead in the video. And I was hired to spit fire for the video. I was not in the video as a video model. I was hired just to spit fire.
You spit fire?
I do. I was going to bring...
Out your mouth?
Yeah, I was going to do it today, but I mean, there's just too many electronics, and I figured you just head for the door. You'd be like,
look at Kendall's face, Kendall's
like,
y'all feel
like
they're like, wait.
I might get thrown out of here. So I didn't think today would be the day to to show my talent as a fire, spitter and stuff like that. But anyways,
stop gawking.
I'm imagining it.
Really got booked to spit fire.
You
want to
know
fire.
Where you can see me spitting fire is there is Donnell Jones' This Love.
Uh-huh.
I play a bartender in that. And so there's this one scene where there's a couple and they meet at the bar and they start to kiss and I'm standing on top of the bar spitting fire. And that's none of it is CGI. Wow. It's real. I'm actually spitting fire. My whole arm caught on fire afterwards. I was fine.
Okay, Michael Jackson, be careful. Okay.
Yeah, no, I was fine. You know, I had so much like liquor on my like spilled all over my hands that it just kind of like was like doing a little
can
dance.
Can we provide a link for that as well?
I think I can. Yeah. I think I can.
I have a question. Was the music video in slow motion? Because all of Donnell Jones' videos are slow motion.
Yeah, the majority of This Love is in slow motion.
Every Donnell Jones music video is slow motion.
And me
shout
spitting
out Donnell
fire
Jones.
Is
you're
in
welcome
slow
to come to the show and defend
so you
yourself.
Can catch it all. So I had to do it like 10 times because they had to catch it from the side and the front and the back. So I was actually spitting fire. So I was hired to spit fire in Hot Like Fire, and you were the lead girl. And I didn't know if you liked me, so I assumed you didn't. So I just was like, well, fuck her too.
Oh.
You know,
that usually
so
is how it
crazy.
Goes. Though.
But wait, so the video was actually shooting on 9/11, and then 9/11 happened.
Right.
So obviously production got shut down for the next 2 weeks, and then we went back to set to resume filming the rest of the video. Did anyone ever see it?
It did come out. It was released, but it was just, I feel like the timing was
awful.
That's really
very
bad timing.
Yeah. You're not going to get very good promo. Nobody's thinking about that video at the time. I think, I did see it, but no, I remember being on set and seeing you in the back because I was already familiar with you. I knew who you were and I was like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. Like, I actually remember these details and I don't normally. You had like a leather jacket on and like, you were just really sleek and you looked like a little superhero.
Oh,
and I was like, oh my, and you had your hair pulled back. I still, this is the first time I'm hearing about the fact that you were there spitting fire.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I was there to spit fire.
I thought you were just there blessing the place, just being
you
like,
better be
like
a dragon.
You know, no, I did. Just being there just to be a blessing and just share your,
I was there, just to share your light.
That's what, yeah, I didn't know all those specifics. I was probably sleepy, to be honest, because I think I flew in on September 10th, like at midnight. And then you know how the hours are. So but I had no idea, and I was always just like a fan. I thought you were beautiful. I don't remember any of the any feeling anyway.
I feel like, you know, with women, we always kind of start off like, you know, circling around each other like,
I don't
like little cats.
And, yeah,
like,
yeah,
I run towards cats.
Like, you know, run like
I'm a dog.
I feel like
then.
Don't know how to assess this.
Conditioned to do that or something. I feel like we've kind of been conditioned.
Yeah, I know. I absolutely think that we've been conditioned to be that way. So we could, you know, get further into the whole, you know, like, you know, the dynamic of women, because we got two guys here. And guys, your dynamics are completely different from ours. Like, in terms of, like, we've even had a conversation one time about competition and how men are bred to view competition as something, like, you know, healthy. So it stays on the field and it doesn't leave. Us women, we have not been taught how to handle competitiveness in a healthy manner. And so for us, it's autonomous. It applies to every aspect of our lives when it really actually shouldn't.
Right.
So
it should be inspiration. I feel like, you know, it's great when you can be inspired.
They don't know how to play
like,
and then go eat later.
Yeah.
We know how to play, then like, you want to go get some drinks.
I know I just punched you in the mouth, but you hungry?
I feel like we're learning, though. I mean, I feel like we've made strides. It feels like it with all the hashtags and everything.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully.
Did you just say hashtag?
Yeah.
My girl.
It's a lot of hashtags.
That be a whole
it
lie.
Is.
Well, one thing.
It's always the person who's the most inspirational online who got all the problems, but not, with no therapist. Let's be real.
Well, like, one time, you know, Blue and I had a conversation when we had our guest Marcia Dyson over here, you know, Mama Sia. And we started talking about, you know, those fake women empowerment advocates that are really actually just like mean girls clicked up. You know what I'm saying? That actually don't do anything in the space of actually empowering women. You know, they just kind of use it as a tagline to make themselves look good.
Black girl magic.
Black girl magic.
But only one girl at a time.
Exactly.
And only the ones who have nothing but like quotes on their page.
Christ almighty.
Look, I have quotes on my page. Don't come for me.
I love quotes.
I said nothing but quotes.
Oh, okay, that's true.
So it's just like a quote page.
And then they'll take a picture and it's like, just like the half their face. Like you see like an eye right
there.
They're deep.
Oh my God.
It'll be a booty shot with the inspirational quote.
Yeah, what does Nelson Mandela have to do with your thumb?
We may
like,
not
I'm
get
so
on
confused.
This, but what is the deal with women taking these pictures of them doing
tread lightly.
Whatever.
Go ahead, ask.
So they're taking these pictures. I can't really stand them and do it, but you know, they got the leg out like this. They got the other one like this, and they're like doing this, and they're pushing their ass out, right? Mm-hmm. We all know what that picture is. And then it'll be like a quote that will say some stuff like,
and still I rise.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Her leg rises it makes
no sense.
I can't answer that for you. I really, truly can't, because I've seen them, and I'm just like, girl, no, go back to the drawing board. Just call it what it is. Drop it like it's hot. You know, pop it wide open. Here's my mitzvah.
I would rather you be honest and be like, ass looks cute.
There it is.
And call it a day. And I'm like,
and go on and get your light.
Yeah,
get your light, sis.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not time waste for no one. And it's like, but you're, you know, like, twerking.
Yeah.
It makes no goddamn sense.
Well, there's nothing wrong with twerking in context.
Unless the back of your t-shirt's cut out.
What? We are not making Lizzo jokes on this Christmas.
Okay, you know what? We'll go back to that.
Catch it.
Wanna finish this up by saying we ended up falling madly in love with each other.
Yeah.
We've adored each other. So we've known each other for 20 years.
What?
So you were
Hot
five.
Dang, that's a long time.
Hot Light Fire was September 11th, 2001. So it's been almost 20 years.
We
Holy
almost have our
shit.
20th friendversary.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
So this was like a middle school production of Hot Like Fire. Play along, girls. Play along.
Yes, she was 12 and I was 13.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Kendall's like, that don't sound right.
Look at me, I'm like,
Kendall's like, I don't think that's legal.
I'm like, I was 13.
Okay, Bin Laden blowing up the spot.
Love wins, though. Love wins.
Exactly. Love wins. So now, tell everybody what you're working on, because I mean, like, you have such a storied career and such an incredible, your IMDb page is popping.
Yeah, the IMDb page is deep. You know, I have to say, I've definitely been putting in my little of work. But right now, I'm bigger on BET Plus.
Yeah.
Hey. I play Veronica. It's a show that is executive produced by Will Packer, Devon Shepherd, Felicia Mary created the show. And it's an amazing cast. I love it. It's really, it's about five friends who are just living and loving and dating and figuring their lives out in Atlanta. So
your character is so far from who you are.
That's what people who know me, they're like, what?
Yeah.
This is crazy.
She's spicy. She will be texting another man while a guy's laying beside her in bed. I think that's actually a scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She has no qualms. Yeah. About, you know, she makes it very clear. She wants to be in control of her life. She doesn't really care about relationships. Relationships are completely on the back burner for her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love it just because she is so far from my actual personality, which is why I wanted to play her. That was one of my intentions
this year,
was to play characters that are risky for me or that feel a little bit uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And now I'm completely comfortable with her. But initially when I read the script, I was like,
clutching your
she's
pearls.
She's unfiltered. Yeah. She has no filter. And you know.
Yeah.
You know, nice. Is this backward? It's
don't worry about it. It's
gonna look right on the camera.
Yeah, it's
gonna
look right.
It looks crazy. Those of you who are listening on Spotify, she's wearing a selfie hat, so it's backwards, but there's no mirrors, so it just says Ekin instead of nice.
And that's it. So, oh, that's what this is. This is a selfie hat.
Yes,
I got it literally because I like the color and it matched what I was wearing. But now I don't know if it was a great idea.
Nice, but it's a selfie. You can just click the button and reverse it.
Okay. So we've got some more food coming in from Chef Bud.
Oh my goodness. That's the only reason why I'm here.
Can we?
Yeah. No, I wanted to load up the table first. So this is.
Ceviche.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness.
I was going to say ceviche that, but I was like, let me not steal his thunder.
It has infusion in it.
Okay.
But it's super good. It's like 5 milligrams in the whole entire batch that I made.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna say.
So there's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there.
There's nothing in there,
they say. Kendall, 10 minutes later.
He's sucking his thumb on camera.
Small, tiny drizzle.
Yeah,
It's a drizzle.
The presentation is fabulous. Y'all had to tell me how that fabulous. Tastes. It's fabulous. So we've given you the massive shout out, Chef Buds, and his contact information is going to be at the end of this episode. You're going to be able to, you know, acquire him for, you know, for his services. And God, it looks good. I'm about to start eating, folks, so if you hear mang, mang, mang. Yeah, okay.
Oh, so for those who are wondering how I'm doing, thanks for asking. it's warm in here. I feel like there's little kisses. Yeah, thank you. There's little kisses on the back of my neck.
Make a cocktail.
So, yeah, I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for
asking.
She
don't need a cocktail.
She's thugging it out.
She leaned over. Do you mind getting me one? Thank you. Because if I lean, I might hit the table.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always hungry.
Oh, this looks yummy. Hostess with the mostest?
This is delicious. Black people love shrimp. Here, why do we love shrimp so much, Melissa?
Thank you.
I'm so scared to eat this.
Come on. We wouldn't steal your rock.
This looks amazing.
It smells like weed.
Spoon or eat like a nacho?
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're so good.
For those of you who can't taste it, I'm tasting it for all of us. It is delightful and citrusy.
Oh, my goodness.
Zesty. It tastes like a Tuesday afternoon in Mexico.
Ooh, this
Christmas
looks so
ceviche.
Good.
Oh, wow.
The cilantro one here.
Mm-hmm.
And little tomatoes.
Cilantro,
and
right?
The expensive tortillas from Trader Joe's.
Mm. What?
Okay. So, Kendall.
Okay,
please. This is good.
Kendall, we met before you moved here, right? We kind of met like
ABFF
online.
Honors.
We met at ABFF Honors.
I didn't know that you knew who I was. I saw you, and in my head, I'm like, that's Melissa Ford.
Do you remember that dress I was wearing?
It was blue.
Mm-hmm. It was blue with a slit all the way up
all
to my
the way
hip.
Up and go to her coochie. And
you couldn't see my coochie, but there's quite a few. You know what? Let me just shut up. that dress was a winner. I saw him and I ran right up to him and I was like, oh, I love you.
I'm like, you know me. I'm like, you know, because at that time I had what, like a couple hundred thousand followers. So I didn't really think you knew who I was.
Mm-mm.
And I saw you and I'm like, oh, shoot. I saw you before you saw me. So I'm like, let me just go this way.
Yeah.
And she was like, ah, and I turned around like, you know me?
Mm-hmm.
So this was instant love.
Yeah, instant love. Instant love. So then when when we got to know each other, I found out that he was making the move to LA from Detroit. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to be like your fairy godmother. I'm going to help you make the transition here. I'm going to tell you who to talk to, who not to talk to, who's full of shit.
She did.
Yeah, that's just what I've been.
You were adopted by Melissa Ford on the spot.
I adopt this.
She sent me a
adoptee
DM.
Right over there. You can't even see behind here, but there's three adoptees behind my cameraman.
I had to do a whole show. But yeah. y'all just got loved on sight. That's fine, Melissa.
Oh, you had to do
you
a lot of
know it was love at first sight with
it
us.
It was
you
love at first puff.
Know
I,
that.
Yes, it was.
Don't even play.
So I'm Kendall, don't you judge me with your eyes.
I'm not.
We met. She handed me a joint. Love at first sight.
She looked
sight.
Stressed. It's why yeah. so I pulled the joint out of the glass case that I keep in my bra, and I handed it to her. Yeah. It's like an emergency joint for when people are stressed.
Hey, Melissa hated you. That's crazy.
That sounded like a BET
show. No, it wasn't I hated her.
Don't that sound like a BET show?
I assumed she wasn't going to like me.
Why? No, all these Sagittarius, they're troublemakers. No, that's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. Fire sign. I'm a Leo.
When your birthday?
It just happened.
Oh, well,
on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, Sagittarius.
Ain't that butter.
I need y'all to chew away from the mic.
Oh,
hey.
It was me. I was like...
I'm sitting all the way back, so yeah.
So that's our audio guy, and he's like, you guys are killing me right now. Right? No? Okay.
I think I'm high.
I smashed this, though.
Did you eat yours?
No, it's right here, because I wanted
you
to.
You did a cute thing.
I just wanted to keep on talking.
That was good, though.
Yeah, you think so?
It was all Obi, by the way. I literally heard him through my hat.
This is good, and it's healthy.
Okay, so Kendall finally moved to L.A., and you hit the ground running.
Yeah.
You know, you're popping on.
The week before I moved here, I had to come out here because I was booked for something, and I went back.
Booked and busy.
Got my stuff and came back, and it really felt like I only moved across town, because when I got here, it was just like, go.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to sit and be like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't going to be scared anyways, because my name is Kendall. Yeah. But
Kendall, say it twice.
Kendall.
When was this?
This was what?
2017,
like
October.
Yeah, a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dang, I've been here 2 years.
Yeah. And you hit the ground running. So now, like, the reunion. Love and Hip Hop reunion.
You were so good.
VH1 finally, got the memo to have you do the backstage recapping and getting the immediate emotional responses from everybody. Like, finally you caught on to use him because he's been, you know, the show commentator for the last, I don't know how long. Whew. Necessary, too.
4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4 years.
I'm so proud of you.
I got here and then got into classes and I'm like, I got to book something within a year. The year came, I'm like... I ain't booked nothing. Mm-hmm. Then November came. Robbie Reed, shout out to Robbie.
Mm-hmm. Games shout People Play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I booked Games People Play. Play MJ on there, which we do have a second season.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next year. She called me and was like, you booked the role of MJ. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So that was fun. I'm ready to get back to work on that show. I do have Cocktails and Robes where I make cocktails. If some of you that may know me, I slam shit. Can we cuss on here?
Like a motherfucker.
Have you not been listening for the past 20 minutes?
I mean, but I know if y'all want us to kind of censor. But I slam shit all over the counter. But at the end, the drink is beautiful, and you might be slammed on the ground. It's a couple people in the room that had one of my drinks. They're pretty good. But I'm going to make that a show. Mm-hmm. Put it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Good. Nice.
Because
so create your own content.
Exactly.
Can we be in your studio audience?
Don't wait, create.
So now you know that you got to have me on the show since I know how to spit fire.
Definitely. When you said that, I'm like, dang, but if you burn a hole in my ceiling.
It's okay.
I promise
we'll
you.
We'll do it on the balcony.
Okay.
We'll do it on the balcony.
I know how to guzzle absinthe if you need that.
You guys want to take the last ceviche cups?
You definitely
Yeah, you
can,
do. Okay, come on. Grab that.
You definitely got to come over for that.
Talking to me. I was about to say, pass it over.
Hurry. Take them and go.
Say hi, Corey. This is Corey.
Grab the third one. Ricardo, grab the
say
third
hi,
one.
Say hi, Ricardo.
There you go.
By the way, people don't realize that when they see me and Melissa doing the show, they don't realize there's a whole team behind the scenes. So they're getting fed right now.
Yeah. Is there? Awesome. There's more outside, right?
It's loud out there, though.
All right. Okay.
Can I get some beats, too?
Listen, Yeah. Pass them
this
around.
This one's so far away. He's going to block everybody's shot.
Hold that thought.
I was going to make it.
I'm concerned about you and them beats. I would have had rest of all of my face.
Ooh, let's.
I'm going to take one.
I just want to see what it is. It looks so
This is so fancy. It's like Top Chef,
it's
guys.
It's beautiful.
Here I'm here for
this
the food.
This is about to happen.
We like a Moose Boucher's. If you have a local restaurant and you would like to watch me eat your food, just, you know, hit up our team and let us know.
Always have food?
No, this is...
We've never had food. It's an ongoing joke.
It's funny.
Y'all should always have food. I'm here for the food.
Listen. Listen, Linda. Listen. Okay? So I actually had some concern about the fact that I was naming the show I'm Here for the Food. And everyone was like, okay, so is there, like, food incorporated? I was like, no. Food for thought. food for the soul. You know what right. I'm saying? I thought that every once in a while there would be the incorporation of some food, but the food, the meal that we are digesting is, you know, is intellectual conversation.
Those beats are slamming.
These are really good,
y'all.
I'm gonna be able to go back
beats?
In.
Okay. Oh my God!
Is anybody gonna go back in?
Cricket, chirp, chirp. Nobody's listening to me. Fuck me, right? Okay.
We hear you. Just won't have it all the time.
Yeah. For your spirit.
So yes, have some beats. Go ahead. Have some beats.
Somebody hand Obi the beats. I'm concerned about his hand-eye coordination. Just so you guys know, this is my favorite episode so far. this is great.
Okay,
content.
So we've got caprese kebabs. Yeah, and we've got caprese kebabs with.
Y'all like beets? I'm sorry, it tastes like dirt.
What? I love boots.
You a lie. You a whole lie.
Some people don't like beets.
I don't like that earthy taste.
You don't like healthy.
I like beets.
No, I like healthy.
Obi said you eat grape juice.
Like, what?
I like healthy.
What?
Oh, wait. So Daisy, for those of you who are listening, Daisy just popped out from underneath Melissa's seat. It's a hot mess in here. Melissa's dragging Daisy by the collar. Daisy's dressed like Santa Claus. Kendall is trying to wash all the beets out of his mouth. The rest of us love it.
The way y'all advertise. The best beats I had in my life.
They're so good
first
for you.
Well,
you
don't that?
Like beats. So good for you.
Who is the imitator?
If you think about the fact
who's
that they're
daddy
nutritious.
Is in the room that I didn't know about?
You and,
okay, listen. Okay, so.
They tender, though.
They tender?
Yeah. I'm going to ask them a little bit later.
Some more of these?
Would you be able to drizzle some of that oil on that, on the caprese?
Oh, my gosh, really?
No.
For me.
Oh,
yeah,
her.
I can. You know, I'm a little. How much?
Oh wait,
she said
oil,
on
the
one.
Oil got
make sure you do it on one.
That stuff in it. The oil got that stuff in it.
Or
and then this is the part where we start back and bite.
Wow, so great.
You know what? You don't like healthy food. We get it, Kendall.
I do.
Kendall said vegetables.
This is delicious.
No, I eat vegetables. I don't eat no beets.
This is delicious.
I keep giving the mic.
So what we wanted to do, like I said, we wanted to do some personal inventory. Blue and I were talking about the fact that we like to take a look back at the end of during the entire year. Everybody tends to make resolutions and promises to themselves in the beginning of the year. Usually it's go to the gym or whatever the case is, that like that's like the number one resolution. But it's interesting to see when you get to the end of the year how much you actually accomplished that was on your to-do list, how many of those resolutions actually stuck and became like your habits, and what fell by the wayside. Disappointments, triumphs, you know, accomplishments, what you want to pat yourself on the back about, you know, like for the last year, and what you want to carry into the roaring 20s.
The roaring 20s, guys. I've been waiting for this my whole life. I'm so excited.
We are about to go into the roaring 20s, you know, new renaissance era. And so we wanted to do some personal assessment. Do you have like a specific way in terms of how you prepare yourself for the new year? Like, do you sit quietly, candlelit room, music, you know, get romantical with yourself, like a pad of paper?
So I'm gonna start this one. I'm gonna start this one because personal inventory is like my jam.
Yeah. Okay. I
don't like, I shouldn't say I don't like. I am not really keen on resolutions. I'm more keen on inventory and seeing what worked and what didn't.
Mm. Okay. Mm. So assess 2019 for us, for
so,
you.
So what I usually ask myself is, what did I like about the year?
Mm-hmm.
What did I not like about the year? How do I get more of what I like and less of what I don't?
Right.
Is it good? Thank you, Obi. Obi was fixing my mic. So for me, what I liked about this year was I kind of went with the flow. I felt like Forrest Gump all 2019 and it worked for me. Mm-hmm. Life really is like a box of chocolates, the mm-hmm. expensive kind, not mm-hmm. the ones on sale at Walgreens. And I like the fact that being comfortable with not knowing. Because mm-hmm. I think a lot of us are really smart. And we pride ourselves on knowing, but all the magic happens in the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been living in the magic all year.
Mm-hmm.
So I want more of that. I don't care what's going to happen in 2020. I'm ready for it. Mm-hmm. What I didn't like was that I sometimes judged myself for things that were good.
Mm. That's what you mean.
Like sometimes there were things that when you come to LA, you're told LA is hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're told it's going to be difficult. You're not going to be able to book things. Everybody has that same dream. What makes you think you're so special? I came here, Obi and I actually moved the same day. We booked a show. That's the reason why we moved here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. Booked another show like 2 weeks later without even trying. Then I booked this. So it was like, it was so easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
A part of me was like, something must be wrong because this is supposed to be hard.
Because
I convinced myself that I have to work hard for something or it doesn't have value. And I think a lot of people of color in particular were told that struggle and value are tied, right? Mm-hmm. So my mantra for 2019 has been,
hi, a black woman in love.
Thank you. My mantra for 2019 has been, I get everything I want, need, and desire with elegance and ease. Mm-hmm. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's not mine. In fact, the fact that it is easy means it's even more mine. Mm. And so this year, I've learned to find value in what's easy rather than trying to create drama where there doesn't need to be any.
Right.
So that's been my inventory. And I always tell people, what's working, what's not.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that you said that, because a lot of times, you know, we can get used to the feeling and comforted by the feeling of struggle and hardship.
I work so hard for it.
Exactly. Right. You know, and when it's easy, we're just like, okay, when's the other shoe going to drop? Mm-hmm. You know, and we need to be more like we've discussed my negative narrative.
Your internal dialogue.
My internal
we're actively
dialogue
working on, Melissa.
That we're actively working on. And would you believe I'm so much better than I was at one point?
Yay.
No, I used to be awful to myself. But I think it's really important what you said, like just in terms of owning the fact that no, I deserve this. I'm worthy of what's happened to
it's
me.
It's not a hookup.
Yeah. Because exactly.
Black folks like to call blessings hookups.
Yeah.
No, it's a blessing. It's not a hookup.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, so Obi, this year's been popping for you. I mean, Will Smith retweets you. Like,
oh, what? Oh, he's Jaden Jr. over here. Get him.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, before you know, we started recording and shooting, that these brownies have cannabis in them. See, my body is on it right now. Like,
so I know. I'm over here feeling like,
I'm in between planes right now. I got like another good like 15, 20 minutes before I like just check out.
Obi said, "Help me."
So, I'm glad you came to me first, because if I was last, I'm like.
At least you didn't deep throw some absinthe on camera.
Deep, yeah, she did deep throw some absinthe
on camera. Right. Thank you guys, so supportive.
Okay, so Obi.
So what's interesting is that I've never been someone to feel like, is it not going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's always been for me where I know I'm going to get there, I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how, because things have been moving so fast for me. Been moving really, really fast that, like, I'm going one way and then another opportunity comes that can take me to where I need to get to. And for this year, like Blue said, like we both literally moved here on the same day for the same show that didn't work out. And I'm not an actor. I'm doing stuff like that. It was for like a talk show.
Mm-hmm. But he killed his audition, though. Yeah. He killed it.
Thank you. That was just beating me. but the thing is that literally I came out here for the show. I was like in an Airbnb. And then I was like, this Airbnb cost more money to get actually get an apartment. Mm-hmm. So literally within 2 weeks, I went to get an apartment. And just said I'm moving out here. I didn't have no going away dinner. I literally told my parents.
And
when
you
I was
moved here from
Houston.
From Houston.
H-Town, baby.
Okay.
And so I was actually going, I was like 2 weeks in, I was actually going back to Houston for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Literally on the way to the airport, went to the apartment complex, filled out an application, then told my parents at the airport that I was moving to Los Angeles. And so I just moved like this, right? And because all these opportunities always come and happen, and I'm always like, I'm very sure that I'm going to get there no matter what it is, whether it's my drawing ability, my thinking ability, you know, networking, whatever. I think my biggest thing is that I may overwork myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Blue's always on my ass about it.
Yeah.
Take a nap.
Oh, like I haven't had a vacation since like 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You won't call it legit vacation. Like and even if I'm out of town, I'm working still.
It's a workation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I said, I'm constantly getting opportunities. I'm constantly doing things. My biggest thing is that I have to learn when to take things off of my plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the biggest things on my social media where I used to drop these comic strips every Friday, and that's where everybody would come to. And so this year I told people I can't really do it because I have so many things going on behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because a lot of people who aren't in the industry, they don't realize that there is so much stuff that goes on that we can't say in public.
Yeah.
Right? And for me, my value was my artwork, my cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't see me drawing anything, and you see my Insta stories of me going out that's enjoying myself, you're thinking that, oh, shit, this person may not actually be working.
Right.
But really, I just can't show you what I'm doing.
Right.
But at the same time, I do want to show you that I'm, you know, who I am and the things that I'm up to. So that's an interesting facet about it. But again, it's all those things behind the scenes that people weren't able to see. Didn't realize how much shit that I was actually doing.
That's good. Booked and busy.
Yeah.
That's the theme here. Booked and busy.
Yeah.
Angel.
Yeah.
Talk about 2019. How was it for you? Did it start off like, you know, did it go the way you planned on when the year began? with ups and downs? Like,
you know, 2019 has been very interesting. It's 2019 has been, you know, high highs and very interesting moments as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's stretching. I've been stretched during this year, but it's been good. I mean, I feel like I'm learning how to align. I feel like alignment is really important for me. Mm-hmm. I did the grind thing like all throughout my 20s, you know, where I felt like I was spreading myself very thin here, there, everywhere, not knowing where I was going to be next, mm-hmm. and just really not being super intentional about, you know, what I felt like I wanted or what I felt like was best for me. I feel like I was putting other people's idea of what I should do in front of what I felt was best for me.
Yeah.
And so this year was learning how to really say no unapologetically. Mm-hmm. Or if I felt like something wasn't really aligned with where I see myself going and what I feel is best for me. So it's been interesting learning how to do that without feeling the guilt.
I think that's a girl thing. That's primarily a female thing of where we feel guilty saying no, even if it's, you know, circumstances that aren't, like you said, in alignment with who we are or what we want. We feel this overwhelming sense of guilt. We talked about this during the Jayla episode, mm-hmm. how the fear of offending can get you in a whole
and
heap of trouble.
And you remember what I said in that episode.
And you are just like, I would rather be rude and alive than nice and left in a ditch.
You know what I learned about saying no? Is that saying no is an opportunity to see what's on the other side of that, right? Because it's easy to be someone's friend, someone's lover, someone's colleague with yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always get excited when the first time I tell somebody no, because now I get to see who you are.
Mm-hmm.
How you react to my no tells me everything I need to know about moving forward. Right. And there's an old saying, anytime someone says no to you clearly and you keep pushing, you're seeking to control them.
There is a
level
of
control.
So when
I tell you no, I need you to receive it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, yes, so from learning how to say no and seeing how certain people respond, certain friendships have maybe
fallen by the wayside or something. Yeah.
Yeah, dissolved or gotten different. The energies, you know, switched up. So it's been a growth year and where I'm learning not, you know, of course, to value everyone around me, value my friendships, value my family, but also realize that things do shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, relationships and your career, everything can kind of change. Mm. Like really the only constant is change. Mm-hmm. And so learning how to accept that and learning how to accept that really has been what this year has been really showing me. Learning how to accept that things change and be okay with things, because I feel like I kind of grew up with this idea that everything is forever. Like mm-hmm. whether it's a friendship, whether it's a relationship, everything is started to last forever.
Right.
And realizing that maybe sometimes that's not...
Reason, season, or lifetime.
Yes.
Yeah,
and not feeling like a failure when certain things don't necessarily go the way I maybe planned.
Right.
And really, really understanding and that there is another reason. It's like if you're driving and there's like a, you know, they're doing construction and says, don't go on this road, not forcing it. Like, well, I want to go down this road. No, there's a reason you're not supposed to go down that road. It's okay. Just like go with the flow, learn to recognize the flow and be okay with going with wherever the flow is taking you and know when it's time to create your own flow. Just being cognizant and aware of what's going on and being just aware of how things are being designed. So it's just been a self-awareness type of year.
You know, it's interesting when you brought up failure. I feel like every failure, you can learn something from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like people see failure as them losing instead of failure as an opportunity to bounce back and learn from that mistake or learn from whatever that situation is to actually improve whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah. There's always a growth. There's growth available within the failure.
Yeah.
And it actually might not, we don't always see the bigger picture. We don't really know how the puzzle pieces are being put together. So it might not actually be a failure. Like it might look like it is at the moment, but maybe that's not really what's happening.
You know what's so interesting talking about failure? I do not listen to country music, but my favorite Garth Brooks lyric, also the only Garth Brooks lyric that I know, is some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And just last night we were talking about how everything we wanted last year, had we gotten it, we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I am so thankful for all the bum-ass prayers ignored.
Yeah.
You saved me from so many fuckboys. Thank you for everybody who broke my heart or slept on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not even
a... Hi, guys.
Like, situations, opportunity, like you say, relationships. Because I could have been in a relationship, right? And there will be no way in hell being here right now because me not being in a relationship actually produced everything that I'm doing now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And got me to this point.
Yeah.
I'm high, okay?
A what? Drunk and everything else.
Help
me. When yes. Obi was talking, I was feeling a little buzz. I said, that's the ceviche.
No.
Because I don't eat that.
So guys, you want something fun? I don't know how to get this battle off of me. Help me.
Oh. Okay. Oh, okay. Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you. Let me help captain my fried chicken. This is like a Jordan Peele movie. The fried chicken caper.
Chicken.
Glob it in there. Just be
that
brave.
That sauce is good, though.
That sauce is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, that sauce is chicken.
I live through y'all.
I'm fucking awful.
Oh, my God. That sauce is so good.
Mm. So, Kando.
Yes.
2019 for you. So, it seemed from the outside looking in like it was popping and you were booked and busy.
So, you
What were your, what's your assessment of how the year went for you? What do you think you accomplished? What do you think you need to do more of? I heard that. I saw the cap drop is fine. It's so, 5 second rule.
Right.
Ew,
but
no,
it didn't drop. No. It didn't drop facing down. But I'm kind of like, it was like.
For those of you who don't know, we are now eating cannabis infused fried chicken bites.
Yes, yes.
It's warm in here now.
Ooh, that's a good drink.
Yeah, popping.
So yeah. I'm kind of like blue. I don't like write stuff down, do a vision board. I just pray every year. Yeah. I do a good hour of prayer on New Year's Eve. And just basically, mostly my prayer is to block out anything and anybody that's not good for me this coming year. And if they're already here in the circle, get them out, clear them out so I can have a clear path for landing. Because, you know, them blessings don't come down if it's not a clear path. Mm-hmm. This year I think I'm going to try to write it down just to try it. Write some things down, do a vision board. But I just pray.
You say for an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
You don't pray for it? I mean, I do a whole hour.
He manifests. He sits and he prays. He manifests.
Funny that you said from the outside looking in because me, I feel like I could have done more.
Uh-huh.
But everybody's like, dang, you was lit this year. And I'm like, doing what?
You know, same here. So I have this constant feeling that I'm not doing enough.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And a lot, you know, friends, strangers, you know, supporters online have said, yo, your comeback was epic, you know, and I was just like, really? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because just in case for some who don't know, I was in a car accident that almost took my life a year and a half ago. It was June 28th, 2018, and I was driving on the 134 going to Zena's bridal shower, who is now married to Tank, who's like my brother from another set of parents, and I was hit by a truck. On the 134, and my Jeep flipped 5 times and came to rest upside down. The roof was ripped off, and I had a skull fracture. I had my brain was bleeding, massive concussion, and like literally, I didn't know it at the time, but you know there was pictures that were taken by somebody, you know, one of the Good Samaritans that stopped, who took the pictures because he was afraid he was going to lose his job for being late. So you had to prove to his boss, no, I actually stopped on the side of the road or the highway to help this woman that had been hit by a truck. And so one of the Good Samaritans, they were literally holding my head closed. And so I did not, you know, launching I'm Here for the Food, I still felt like I hadn't done enough. People were like, you survived death. You came back. You went back to work. You inspired people along the way. And then you started this massive undertaking. I was like, oh, that negative narrative inside my head.
It's a very negative narrative.
It's very powerful. It always convinces me I'm not doing enough, that what I do isn't good enough. It's really, I hear it talking to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. And now there's this, you know, other voice, please don't think I'm crazy, that's saying to me, you need to put this away. You need to put this away forever, you know? And so that's my personal assessment of how this year went. It started off like, I didn't know if I was going to survive, honestly, because the depression that came with a traumatic brain injury, I didn't know if I was going to survive. But then getting back into what felt normal for me, working.
But you're not even surviving; you're thriving.
Yeah. Exactly,
so a big difference. This is beyond surviving. Yeah. Look at this. Oh, look at the chicken's gone. Look at this. When it was there, it was cute, guys. No, when you walked in, I said to you, I was like, "You're so beautiful," and you immediately started explaining it away, and then you stopped yourself and said, "Actually, no, I'm going to take a compliment. Thank you." And sometimes it gets to be that simple that in the moment You can do a pivot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Melissa and I's favorite word is pivot. We're constantly pivoting.
Pivoting is a great word because it's, you're not changing everything. You just got to hold on. You just focus over here. But I love that you talk about, and you're talking about, you know, listening to the narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, I did that. I really took like 3 months out of this year to just really focus on my thoughts. Like, what am I saying to myself? And when I started to pay attention to some of the words that I was saying to myself and just the way I was treating myself in my thoughts, whether it came out of my mouth or not, I was like, I need to adjust. Mm-hmm. I need to fix the way I talk to myself, the things that I think about myself, because that's where the manifestations start, mm-hmm. you know, in reality.
Your thoughts become things.
Thoughts become things.
One time I used to call myself a worrier. You know, I worry a lot. You know, I wring my hands, I fret, I worry, you know, that sort of thing. And then, you know, when you're intelligent, you think you know everything. But then I wanted to pare it down. And I thought to myself, let me look up the definition of the word worry, because maybe I don't know what it means. And I'm manifesting this thing onto me and I might not know what the actual meaning of the word is. It seems innocuous enough. Mm. It seems very, you know, just very simple. I looked up the definition of the word worry. You know what the definition is? Mm. To torture oneself.
Wow.
That's accurate.
I was blown away that I had accepted that as a characteristic that I embodied, that was part of who I was. Yeah. That I torture myself willingly. And in that moment, I realized, I don't want to do this anymore.
I have a warning, though, and this is something... I have a thing that I always say is I get nervous when people read too many self-help books and they get too hype and there's no balance.
Yeah.
So the warning is popping, but not as much as you think. So for the sake of us keeping this balance, y'all, ooh, this is kicking in. I'm about to tell some truth.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing, right? When you have laryngitis and you lose your voice and you have no voice, mm-hmm. when you start talking again, you scream. Mm-hmm. Because you're so not used to hearing your voice mm-hmm. that you don't know what the equilibrium sounds like.
Right.
It's the same thing for people who have had negative internal dialogue and then they switch to positive. Suddenly they go to the other extreme, right?
Yeah.
And they get a little big-headed about what's happening. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, like, trust your gut, but first make sure you clean out your gut.
Right.
And also be clear that when you're asking people for advice or if you're changing a narrative.
Consider the source.
Yeah, I read something somewhere. You only get mad when someone does something to you worse than what you think you deserve. Mm. So the first thing that happens when you start thinking you deserve more, you're now mad at people who are doing what they've always been doing. Mm-hmm. They didn't change, you changed. Mm-hmm. They're still acting the same way. You just shifted your boundaries. And so a lot of times you will have relationships where you're suddenly now really sensitive mm-hmm. and say, I'm a strong black woman. I just asked, do you want cream in your coffee? Like, I don't know how we got here. Ma'am. Next, is that a venti? Is that a grande? And so just make sure that, like, it's great that you're empowered, but just make sure you realize that nothing's changed but you.
Yeah.
And you have to give people the grace to learn the new version of you and reset new boundaries. Every time my best friend calls me and my voice sounds a little funny, he's like, who are you now? Right. I was like, well, I just discovered this self-limiting belief. Want to hear what I figured out? Just tell me the rules of this version of you. Like, we've been best friends for 20 years, so he knows I'm constantly evolving.
Yeah.
So give people some grace, because sometimes when we shift, we don't allow people to learn the new us, and we just harshly judge them based on the us that we taught them to get used to.
Mm-hmm. But
that's the balance.
I was gonna say, isn't it kind of difficult also that when you are shifting, right, and you are, you know, changing to this new person, whether it's negative or positive, but we're going to say positive because we're all on that wave of getting up, that you do have people in your life from the past who remember how you were before.
And they want to keep you that way.
They want to keep you that way. Yep. So when you are shifting, right, and you try to explain to them, yo, things have changed, I'm not like this.
Sometimes that explanation doesn't go over very well because they want you to stay where you are because they don't have any plans of changing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what change usually equals is growth.
Mm-hmm.
And growth is very uncomfortable.
But sometimes it's not that sinister. Sometimes it's fear masked as concern.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes people are scared because you're going someplace they've never been. And so they think they're worried for you, but they just are unfamiliar with the territory.
Mm-hmm. And they know that they're not going to join you.
You can't give me directions someplace you've never been.
Exactly.
So I'm not asking for your advice.
Yeah.
I run into it a lot of, like, what I do. Me being an artist and being a cartoonist, especially growing up in Houston, I didn't have anybody around me who I can actually talk to besides my mentor. But my mentor, he's like a 50-year-old guy who's a comic book artist with a family and grandchildren. Me being a single, you know, man in his 30s, it's hard for me to actually talk to him and get that kind of advice outside of just art. But it was really, really difficult for me to kind of explain to people what I'm going through as an artist whose social media is on the rise. right? And so when they try to give me advice, it is kind of difficult for me to actually take it in because I'm like, you're not in my shoes.
Right.
You can't tell me what's going through. Like, if I have, like, Will Smith repost me, you don't know what that feels. And not that post repost your artwork.
He said you don't know what it feels like for a Smith to acknowledge that you are alive.
but it's like, how do I explain it to somebody, right?
Right.
Where people were like, were you jumping for joy? And I was like, I thought it was awesome. And then I just went back to work. Mm-hmm. And then it hit me 2 weeks later that, oh, shit, Will Smith reposted me. Mm-hmm. Because in my head, I'm doing so much stuff, my brain is always moving, right? Yeah. But it's hard to communicate those things with people. It's hard to communicate with those people. Like, I can't do certain things because I'm too busy and I have to do this. And those people are like, but this is what got you here. Mm-hmm. You need to continue doing that. It's the same thing with people talk about Rihanna, where people are like, Rihanna, you should make more music. And Rihanna's like, yo,
fuck you.
Fuck
she's
you.
Worth right now. Say fuck you.
Yeah.
Because she's doing other major things that are feeding her soul.
Mm-hmm. And her pocket.
And her pocket. Yeah. Yeah, but creatively, it's feeding that part of her. And the music, she'll get back to it. Mm-hmm. She will get back to it. And she's left allegedly. Us a lot of... She's left us a lot of really good stuff to, you know, in the meantime.
Right.
But she's feeding her creative soul right now, developing Fenty into like a luxury brand. Mm-hmm. Savage Fenty, her lingerie line. Like she's having a good time.
But she also rolled the dice too, right? We talk about risk.
Very much
people
so.
People don't like to take risk. The 10-year challenge is funny because when they show Rihanna's accountants or something had messed with her money 10 years ago and now she's worth almost like $1 billion, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what people don't talk about is when she was broke, she still took $30 million out of her own money to start Fenty.
She invested in herself.
That's a hell of a roll of the dice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had that gone left... Yeah. We would have been watching her Rihanna True Life story right now. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes you have to take a gamble.
I would have had her back.
But I know how you feel when you said people like, oh, how does it feel like for Will Smith? And you like, I mean, he did it and you kept going. I do that. Like my managers, they'll say, you booked this. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Okay, cool. So next week I got it. And they're like, why you do that? And I'm like, no, I'm happy. But I got other things that I'm trying to that's done. So let's get to the next thing. And I'm just like you. I'm never like screaming, jumping like the whole when I booked the thing for the reunion. I was like, oh, dope.
Yeah. This business moves so fast. We don't really give ourselves the opportunity to stop and smell our own roses and pat ourselves in the back and be like, yo, I did that, you know, and congratulate ourselves. It might not even just be this business. I think that that's just people in general, you know. That's something that a lot of people, I think, can identify about.
And a lot of my friends, too, they was like, you're going to have a watch party? And I'm like...
A watch party for what?
To watch.
I was
like, this is big. We're going to bring bottles. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to just watch it at home by myself and just do best friend and chill. They like,
that's me.
And keep on working. And keep on working and keep on building.
I'm like, I want to watch it. It's like, well, we want to come do it. I'm like, no, that's work. Like, you can't come to, if I was still in corporate, you couldn't come and sit at my desk with me. So no, you can't, you can't come over and come to work with me. So no.
You know what's funny about change and friendship? If the friendship is real, like, you know, sometimes they say that you don't go into business with your friends, you know, because it will end badly. That's not exactly true.
No.
You know?
That's not true.
Your relationship should be able to withstand, you know, the undulation of time and circumstance, you know?
If they're built for that.
If they're built for that. If the friendship is real.
Not everybody's built for that.
But if the friendship is real, it will withstand. Yeah. And a perfect example is Hollywood Unlocked. You know, Jason and I were friends for a decade before we started Hollywood Unlocked. Then he proposed the idea of me coming on and doing this podcast with them. And I was just like, sure. Like, I didn't even think about what it was going to become. I had no clue. If you look at the first episode, you will see I had no clue. Like, my eyebrows weren't filled in. I look like I look
you
like...
You know you were going outside?
No, I look like I just got tumble dried and fell out of a dryer, okay?
Wait, you said y'all been friends for 10 years?
Yeah, I've known Jason since 2009.
Y'all been saying 10 years since 2017.
Ooh, y'all can't
shut up.
It's 12 by now, because when I first moved here.
Okay, fine.
And I hung out with y'all. When I hung out with y'all, they was like, we've been friends for 10 years.
Listen, mother.
2 years later, we've been friends for 10 years.
I partake. You cannot be his accountant, Melissa.
I'm like, sweetie.
I have a very good account.
Stop eating that stuff.
Keep me straight on the numbers.
You got that pink slip of your team.
Okay.
You can't count.
But I digress. So we start doing the podcast and it's popping, and then our friendship takes a hit. And it's just like, I don't know what, we didn't know what to do, you know? And so we had to keep on going because we'd created this thing and there was now these expectations from fans that we had to keep on going. And then my car accident happened and I had no idea why. I was so angry at God for the accident because it seemed like my life was on the up and up. It seemed like things were moving. It seemed like things were progressing. And then I was forced to stop. I was forced to stop and heal, which took a long time. I was forced to stop and think. And I was just like, I don't get the message. I don't get what you're trying to tell me. I just don't get it. But sometimes it's just not for you to get. Sometimes it's just the time that you that is needed for you, whether or not you know it. And I came out the other end with an even stronger connection to Jason, which is really, I didn't expect to happen. But we ended up repairing the damage to our friendship. It became stronger than ever. And he has been one of my biggest supporters when it came to starting I'm Here for the Food.
It put things in perspective, though,
and
right?
Whatever
fight you had is not as important as you on the side of the road.
Exactly. It put a lot of things into perspective. And what it also put into perspective for me was how hard it was for him to build his brand, which I had taken for granted some of the times. But now building my own, I call him like at least once a week. Like, if I was ever a pain in the ass, I am sorry. I am sorry because the shit I deal with behind the scenes is crazy. But it's just time really, you know, that saying time heals all wounds.
I don't actually agree with that saying at all.
You don't?
No. I don't think time heals all wounds. I think choices heal wounds. Ooh. I know a lot of old miserable people.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Like give yourself more credit than that.
I think it should.
you saw the wrong heels like
give yourself credit. Like it's what you do with the time that heals.
When you think of the you know, the Sphinx, the in Egypt, you know, and you look at it, the features have been worn away by the elements, by wind. Maybe rain. It's a desert, so maybe they didn't get that much, but definitely wind. So the features of the Sphinx have definitely weathered away, and they're very dull, you know. And I feel like that's a perfect visual example of what time does to pain. It weathers it away. It scabs over, you know. It's scar tissue. It softens things.
Unless the construction crew comes and puts like. Patches it up every year.
Right.
So the thing is, people sometimes with time, what they do is they don't let it weather away.
Right.
They literally feed their pain.
Yeah.
Like you have that old lady who got a divorce when she was 40 and she's been telling the story about her no good ex-husband for 30 years. He's long dead, but she's just as mad as the day he left her.
So
that Sphinx, if you let it and leave it alone, it will heal.
Yeah.
But if you constantly feed your pain, time doesn't do anything.
What I want everybody to think about is the concept of time.
Right.
And to understand what your relationship with time is. You know, that there's hedonists, you know, these are people that love to live in the moment and they don't like to look forward. And they do not like to look behind. It's just like that party. Like, oh, no, don't distract me with, I don't want to hear that. No, it's now. That's a hedonist, you know? We know them. Then we have nostalgics, people who love to live in the past. They love to bring that up. They love to talk about when they peaked and then everything went fucking downhill. You know what I'm saying? And then you've got the type A personalities that are always go, go, go. And, you know, time is money and thinking about the future, but they're not reflective of their present moment. They can't enjoy it. They don't smell their flowers and they damn sure don't want to hear about the past because it's like it's irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? One thing I would say, you know, early server tip of the day is to think about what your relationship with the concept of time is, and that might help you rediscover something about yourself, and it might actually help you in, you know, in a way, like in terms of how you process things moving forward and how you process your relationships with people, in terms of how you handle money, in terms of how you just kind of live your life. Take some time to think about what is my relationship with the concept of time. I had a lot of time on my hands when I was recovering, so I had nothing but time to think.
You know what timing is crazy? Because we talked about time with the side of the couch was, I always say, trust the timing of your life. Mm-hmm. You said your team didn't bring you where you thought you were supposed to be this year, but maybe you're exactly where you're supposed to be this year. And that was supposed to happen because you were supposed to learn a lesson in that holding pattern, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you don't get what you want, that holding pattern has something to teach you as well. Mm-hmm. So I always tell myself I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm trusting the timing of my life, even if it seems slower than what I want, because everybody wants everything yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I've learned to be like, no, I'm actually happy I didn't get it until I was ready. Mm-hmm. Also, we're doing service up of the day. Does it mean the party's about to be over?
No, it's not going
to
be over.
I started to panic. No. I was like, wait, yeah. I have more chicken to eat.
No. Okay. It was an early server yeah. tip of the day.
Oh, girl, you see my face?
No, it was early server tip of the day. That was just mine.
But it's a lot of other things, too.
So I think
we're going to talk, Kendall, when we're sober.
Yeah, we are. So I think that this is.
I was a little buzzed.
I can feel that.
My face is numb right now.
You guys blink really pretty when you're a little. The blinks get real pretty and slow.
So no, that's just chicken? You.
Listen, you guys.
And what you going through over there and inside
of
your body.
I do think I want another piece.
You guys have the chicken. You put the mic back up.
Sorry.
You start trying. Okay, so listen. At this point, we want to introduce a game, okay? So I wanted to introduce it when you were talking about shifting, you know, shifting perspectives, shifting just everything. So it's a game called Shifted, and it was created by another one of my surrogate big sister moms. Her name is Monica Cost. She will be a guest on the show. She is one of the most formidable women I've ever met in my entire life. And she's like a life coach. And
it's a
great
word.
Formidable.
You called her a tsunami. That's amazing.
Yeah, she's everything. And so the game is called Shifted. Will you change your mind? So these are thought-provoking cards that ask, you know, everybody playing the game questions that really, really make you ponder. So I'm going to hand it over, and I'm going to provide a link in order for you guys to purchase this, because this is a lot of fun for crowds and, you know, during the holidays and stuff. So I'm going to hand it over to Blue, because she wants to hear my...
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Chuck Willery. And today we're going
to
be
hear my
Shifting.
Where y'all find her at?
Angie from the Shade Room hooked us up on a play date.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She did.
Okay. Ooh, this is a good one.
Let's go.
Oh, you really are.
Oh, God.
She's
got a white girl wasted so fast.
She was a white girl wasted.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Your white side tapped in. Fuck the black side.
Whoa.
Canada, eh?
Ooh. Hey.
Anyways.
What was that, a boots? That was Canadian as fuck. Okay.
Fucking A.
Okay, so we're not going to do this where everybody has to answer round robin, because that can get tedious. My attention span is like all over the place.
Thank God, because I've been saying that the whole
show. Throw an answer out?
No, because that sounds horrible on the mic. But if you feel very strongly, put up one gentle finger and I'll point to you.
Mm-hmm. Wait, question. Is this chicken burning anybody's lip?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to tell I'm not tripping.
It was spicy.
This one? I was delicious. I think chicken tastes best when it hurts a little bit.
My lip
is
sizzling.
Okay.
Don't judge. How I live my life. All right, guys. Whoever feels, if you feel strongly about it, put up one finger, and we want to know whose finger I'm going to choose. Ding, sounds wrong, guys. Okay. You ready? Get your fingers ready. This is the finger edition of Shifted. You ready? What is a relationship rule you have that may not be common? What weird-ish do you require of relationships that may not be common?
Shit. You want me to go?
Yes, Kendall.
Yeah. Fuck putting the finger up.
Oh.
I got something to say.
I think Kendall ate the wrong chicken.
I think I did.
So
I think
Kendall
I grabbed the wrong chicken.
I'm not going to partake of the marijuana, but we think he grabbed the wrong chicken.
I think so, but I got something to say.
Okay.
I don't do no open relationship shit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
no.
So that's a rule.
And a lot of people like to do that in LA.
Yeah, it's trendy right now.
That's trendy, my ass. Trendy will get your ass whooped.
That is actually
saying,
true.
You
that's
and that motherfucker. So.
Show of hands, who here would do an open relationship in the present tense? No one. Okay.
I'm selfish.
I've tried open relationships. No. They ended violently.
Never.
You see my point exactly.
I'm a Scorpio.
Why did I even try it?
Yeah.
Oh,
you might as well be single.
You're a freak.
That's what they say.
What's your... Where's
oh,
your
you
Venus?
Tried it?
Where's
what? Your open relationship?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
They say Scorpios are extremes. They're either freaks or nuns. Like, there's no in between. It's either hoe is life or I'm in. Like, there's nothing else. All right, next question. What are
I'm my man's hoe.
Okay. That's perfect.
That should be.
What are topics you believe should not be discussed on social media and why? Finger. We're going to do Melissa then Obi. All right.
Things that should not be discussed on social media. What's happening with your like reproductive system, or like your, you know, just like, you know, your monthly.
Wait, what?
What? Who are you following?
People doing that?
Yeah, like it just sometimes there's just way too much information distributed.
About periods?
I've noticed it lately. I think it's because of this whole movement. You know, everyone.
It's not empowering. No, yeah. It's not empowering. I'm sorry. Call me a prude if you want to. I don't find the discussion of our of your monthly. I don't find it empowering. Like, no.
Mm-mm. Unless it's like a charity. Wait. Like, because, you know, there
I have not seen
these different charities. Like, We Are Happy, period. Yeah. There's different,
now I'm mad.
You know, or charities or foundations that are giving, you know, certain sanitation.
Yeah.
Unless it's for a good cause, basically. Unless it's for a good cause. Otherwise, we don't need to. I don't think we need to know the specifics.
Yeah.
You know, like, you got your Midol, you got everything you need.
Well, I would say, as somebody who does have endometriosis, which is a really
see, things like that.
We could talk about,
if I talk about my period, it is for a very serious reason.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and the thing about endo is people who have invisible disabilities, people think we just need to suck it up. So if someone has, my friend is only 30, but she has fibromyalgia and she has problems with her hands.
No, but that's context.
And it's for healing.
I'm explaining that. I talk about my period very much and you're going to have to deal with it because I have a condition where you need to know why I'm on bed rest for a week. You need to know
why.
But
do you talk about it on social media?
Yes, because that's how you spread awareness. Because people used to be really callous and insensitive during my cycle. And it took me talking about endo to educate them to be like, oh, this is serious. I actually have a homegirl like that. And it's supposed to have been judging her.
But that's intentional. What I mean. That's intentional.
That's about my period.
Yeah. That's not what I mean. Yeah. I'm literally, I'm just talking about periods like in a crass manner and talking about slapping
different.
Guy across the face with a tampon. Like, nasty.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, we learned
wait,
a minute.
Explore page.
You need to change what you're looking at on Instagram. Because the only thing that be in your explore page is what the hell you looking at. And you looking at some bullshit.
You guys, overtalk doesn't sound good on air.
You can mute that.
I just picture Melissa being like, I hate these period pictures. I'm going to keep double tapping these motherfuckers.
That's why they keep popping up.
No.
You're hate tapping. So, Obi, we're going to pivot to you real quick for the sake of time. What is something that you think should be on social media?
Relationships.
I'm
saying if you want to show like your significant other or the person you're relationship with, fine. Right. But talking about all your business, what's going on, the problems you're going through,
I agree.
Yeah, and then what's worse is that also sometimes people share too much stuff on social media.
You can now practically predict who's going to break up.
You already know, and so everybody's now in your life, right? And so then when you break up with the person, you're mad when people are in your comments. Are talking about, I knew the shit was going to happen. Or even when someone's like,
you invited them in.
Yeah, or like, oh, you're dating such and such. Oh, I've been with such and such. This person ain't shit. Boom, boom, boom. Like, people get messy, like, because you want to show the world everything you're fucking doing.
Yeah.
Something is private. Keep,
statistically speaking, people who show their relationships the least tend to stay together the longest.
Yeah.
And 75% of couples are lying.
It's just like your family. You don't tell all your, if you're married, you don't tell all your business to your family because y'all get in a fight or in an argument, right? And you tell the person in your family about it, and then y'all get back together, the people in your family are still gonna think that person's a piece of shit. And they're never gonna like that person. Now, think about you doing this on social media.
Right.
With people you don't even fucking know. Everybody's in your fucking business, and they're gonna keep putting poison into it until it doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I've had my relationships messed up from haters.
Especially a new relationship. It's like, let it build first.
I have a rule.
Get a strong foundation.
I have a rule in my relationships. I never follow who I'm in a relationship with. And I expect, don't follow me. Do not be on my page asking me some shit about what went down.
You don't tag him at the party then when you take a picture.
No, because you...
Now you opening the door.
No, wait. But here's the thing. You don't have to tell who you're in a relationship
with. Blue.
It's easy to know when you're drunk
you
at the party.
You both. You both were at my birthday party. Look. No,
that's my bestie.
You three were at my birthday.
We sure were.
You saw who was there.
He was very pretty and buttery.
Exactly. And I, even though I look at the pictures and the pictures are so pretty.
Put it back in, Melissa. You got excited. Yes.
Y'all will never see that.
Like, he's attractive.
When I get married, you might see that.
Right.
But the whole courtship process.
It's
you know, hashtag us, hashtag, you know, yeah, him, hashtag, you know.
Hashtag, shout out to Shotbox.
This
motherfucking drink right here.
Yo, these drinks are kicking. Shotbox, please continue to work with us.
I don't want to invite the public into my relationship because they will walk into the room with muddy boots on. I refuse to allow that to happen.
They want
to
know every aspect.
And they're waiting for it to go downhill so they can all toast about it at happy hour.
Exactly.
Next question. Next what question. Is something Cold you said world. You would never do, but you did? And why did that happen?
Eat an edible. And I just sat up there. I just just sat up there and ate that ceviche. And I think a piece of chicken. The wrong one.
No, that was the right chicken. No, Trust the timing of your life, Kendall. This was the space and time for you to have an edible.
I'm telling you, that's the wrong thing. Something's happening.
It is. You're getting around. My body's calling.
You're feeling it?
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one because that just won. Nobody has an answer after that. That was the best one. What is a deal breaker when it comes to sex?
A small penis.
Whoa. I mean, what is small? A big clit.
That's a small penis.
Dang. Yikes.
You guys, I'm sorry. It's all happening.
See, the micro dick community, we love you. We just won't. Melissa just won't date you. And this is the moment when the show went off the rails.
about 50% of her followers about to drop in half.
No, they not. They're jumping her DM for real.
Like,
now.
Oh, you like a big dude?
She about to get a lot of videos.
You about to get a lot of
some young niggas like this way.
Dangling. Okay. All of it.
Okay. Oh, it's going down on the 24th.
Okay, I have one, and I'm going to answer this one myself.
Go ahead.
Name one bias you have and where it came from. I once had an amazing person. Ooh, that just hit me right in the mouth. I had an amazing person in my life who wanted to be with me, and every time he would smile, his gums would be more than his teeth.
He was gummy.
I would make him mad on purpose.
Tooth to gum ratio. Yikes. You like tooth to gum ratio?
I'm like, I don't like it when he happy.
How long did you play around with this? Because she didn't like him. She definitely was playing these games.
No, look, the next person that he dated is living an amazing life. Like, he is the best person ever.
So you did him you released her.
And the thing is, when they got engaged, she said, "I love his smile." I was like, "You see that?"
I spit my drink out. Hey,
somebody for everybody.
Did he have
big gums or did he have small teeth?
I couldn't. It was 75% gums.
Why you didn't take him to the dentist?
Pull back his gums?
Yeah,
but if you really loved him, that wouldn't have bothered you.
The reason why I'm sharing is because I think sometimes people think I'm just going to always give a Maya Angelou answer. I want you to know that I too can be petty.
Oh, we know that shit.
So if your gum to tooth ratio is off.
Patti LaBelle.
All that political correctness goes out the window. Name a time when you thought something about someone and you were wrong. What changed your mind? I have one for this one too. Somebody else has to answer though after me. Rihanna. When Rihanna came out, I was like, another girl singing one of these Ponder Reap. Like, I slept on Rihanna so hard until she bought that umbrella. And I was like, girl, you popping.
But I think everybody did, right?
She bought it. Props didn't
have it. I really liked SOS.
True, but her and Tiara Marie and whoever else was out, Vitamin C, whoever else was out back then, they all were the same thing. They all sounded the same to me, but the thing about Rihanna that I loved is she taught me that you should never count someone out because she came back with a vengeance and now she's making all of us gag. Yeah. And so my friends and I, whenever we're about to do something that nobody sees coming, bitch, I'm about to buy an umbrella. That's like the code word for I'm about to like completely pivot and do some like big stuff. So Rihanna has always been my favorite because she's the one time that I was completely wrong and I completely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
She shut me up so thoroughly. When I meet her, I'm going to hug her extra hard.
I remember seeing an interview with her before the Ponder Replay, whichever the first one, SOS, I can't remember. Right. The
Ponder Replay was really her intro.
But I saw an interview and she was just so herself. She was so like unapologetically herself. I was like, yeah, she's super authentic.
With her energy.
In general.
She's just her.
You know, I had a feeling that would work.
That was my favorite time being wrong.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Fine.
Okay, last question.
Yeah. Sexy.
Listen, we're off the fucking rails on this episode, people.
Damn.
You know, we got people in the background.
Start talking about reality.
This is gonna work. Last question then. Someone asks you, and I want everybody to answer this one. So we're gonna start this way and go.
We're gonna start here?
Yeah, we're gonna start with you because you seem coherent as hell. You make it.
I've seen half an hour.
Nothing
is happening behind us right now after this.
Oh, you feeling it too?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you're gonna go first. You're the only eye white I've seen.
Things are taking a long time to process. things are taking a very long time to process.
Okay, you're doing good.
Thank you.
I'm fucked up.
Are you ready? When someone asks you, what do? How do you answer?
That's a good one. In LA? In LA, everyone, that's their first question.
Oh, my mom's so smart.
Yeah, no, I normally make it a rhetorical question. I'm like, what do you do? I'm just out here. I don't really like to. I'm not a great big fan of saying that I'm an actress because then it brings on the, well, what have you been in? And then it wants, yeah. The people want the list. And then you're going down the list and they're like, no, I didn't see you on that. Didn't see you on that. You do look familiar. No, didn't see that. And then it can become a bit of an awkward ping pong thing. And it so normally I avoid it because I avoid the question. But I normally ask them what they do. I kind of turn it around.
I walk dogs professionally and I work for the CIA.
Oh. So we skip Kendall.
Here, you could borrow that if you want to. Yeah, if you don't know who I am, if you're asking, so what do you do? I'm like, oh, I walk dogs professionally and I work for the CIA.
That's hilarious that like someone turned around. They're like,
she had goddamn pathologist.
Then they leave you alone. Yeah. They leave you alone.
And then they do this. Blink, blink, blank stare, and that's when I exit stage left.
Yeah. Are they like, you walk dogs?
I walk dogs, like, proudly. Where is like, that motherfucker? Daisy?
Hourglass?
You walk
Where's
dogs?
The mascot?
Daisy ran away. Daisy smelled what was cooking and ran away. Kendall, what do you answer?
I say a lot. And my mom's so smart. And Nate, what do you do a lot?
That's just your answer. Like that, you a lot. Do a lot?
Yeah,
I love that.
When somebody just hits you like, oh, hi. And then like, so what you... that got chocolate on it.
I know, but...
Are we feeding the dogs?
No.
I'm just trying to entice her to come out.
No, because Melissa gave somebody dog.
Yo. That dog can smell the marijuana.
I went to a party with Melissa, y'all. Let me tell you, I went to a...
Don't tell her.
No, I went to a party.
Uh-huh.
And Melissa took some chocolate chip cookies. And the dog was just all around, just barking. She's like, hey, shut up. Come here. She grabs the chocolate chip cookie. It was a Super Bowl party. She grabs chocolate chip cookie and gives it to this little dog.
Oh, I didn't
dog.
Like that dog.
Oh, snap.
I was hyped. Melissa. I was like, Melissa, that's chocolate chip. Shh.
What did the dog do?
I'm like, bitch. I was like, I was not here. I had to go to another
so
side of the house.
So we're going
to
edit that out.
End of the story, the dog survived, okay?
Yeah, the dog's still here.
As we know, it lost the left moving forward, but that's okay. When people say, what do you do? I say, I'm a writer. And then they say, well, how do you get paid? And I said, oh,
wow. That's shade.
And I
that's rude. Country shade.
So I say, I get paid 100% from being a writer. And then... they say, like, what do you write for? I was like, I write things. Like, it's interesting that we taught ourselves that you can't be an artist and actually, like, eat. So I intentionally say I'm a writer and don't feel the need to explain. You say people ask you, what have you written for? I always say, just Google me.
Right.
It's a primary color, B-L-U-E, spelled correctly. No accent marks.
People want to know what you've been in because you look familiar. And then I feel like we all look familiar now with social media. Everybody looks familiar to me. Yeah. I don't know, how I know people.
That's true. I don't really get that question often.
Because they know who Kendall is. So nice to say it twice.
I'm not. No, look at Obi. Obi like,
people you think like, they want
no. Because you just like, I know you be making a video. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Like, yeah, that's me.
That's me, Kendall twice.
That's me. That's and then Kendall, a couple Kendall. Like, oh, like older. I shouldn't say older people. More mature people. They don't see me in the store and they're like, you was on that show. I know. I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I know who you are. I'm like. Thanks.
That's amazing that you're recognizable.
Yeah, Kendall has a gajillion followers. So I don't really have to go through that. What do you do? It just depends on who it is.
Because he's famous. People hit it, OB.
And then some people want to be they funny. So what do you do? Just fuck out my face.
Oh, okay.
That's what you could do.
I got to try
that. I'm sorry. It's just the liquor.
It's the chicken, guys. It's the chicken.
Okay, OB, so what happens when you get that question? Okay.
First of all, nobody recognizes me unless they see my cartoon.
And you look exactly like you got in the cartoon.
Because so they'll be like, I knew it looked familiar, man. Nah, but a lot of times when they ask me, I say I'm an artist. And they just come like, oh, snap, you're an artist? Oh, shoot, let's collab on something. And I'm like, God damn.
Child.
I get asked collab.
That's why I say I'm a professional dog walker and I work for the CIA. Where's the collab? Nowhere.
Look at the dog, though.
Can we close up on this frightened dog?
She over there like, she don't be walking me, bitch. That bitch just let me outside.
The dog is like, help me. Help me. Oh.
Daisy's the mascot of them.
She do not walk Daisy, y'all. She got a potty patch.
Don't lie. I'm regularly on the phone screaming at people while she's taking
a poop. She do walk her dog, but when she don't feel like it, she got a little patch.
She got a patch in the house. I'm like, Daisy, mama's drunk.
I tried that with Zoe. That bitch said, bitch, if you don't come on, let me outside.
Your dog looks like it's planning to... some kind of master plan to leave.
Yeah, she's like Pinky in the Brain.
It's just trying to get the courage. She's trying to get the courage to get out.
The Harriet Tubman of Chihuahua. She's
looking at me and she's literally trying to guilt me with this look right now.
Oh, she like, is.
Do you see that?
What's a manipulative dog?
What do you think she wants?
Girl. What do you think the dog said?
Did you hear how she said? She's looking at me and she's trying to manipulate
like,
me with this.
You're publicly embarrassing me, Mom.
Get the fuck out of here. She cold and she ready to motherfucker go.
Oh, you guys, I lied. Quick last question. Yeah. Quick last question.
Yes.
What is something that people think about you that you vehemently disagree with?
That I'm a hoe.
Oh,
well, people think that I'm going to talk about them on social media, because, and I don't.
One at a time, because we can't hear you guys. Sorry. When you over talk.
Okay,
hold on.
Let me just say this. Never, ever, ever have I ever painted myself as an angel. I'm a human being. I have needs and wants and desires. The same way that everybody else does. Yes, my career started on a one note, you know. I was, you know, kind of a sex symbol-ish. Whatever
what
you want to call it.
Sex symbol ish.
Okay, listen,
I'm a straight black man.
Thank you.
I remember Jessica Rabbit.
But did you thank him for being a straight black man?
I saw what he's doing.
But is it a bad thing?
So, you know, like, but the assumption that just because I participated in music videos and because I was, you know, regularly in men's magazines and bikinis and underwear, that meant that I was fucking everybody. Actually, you know this, mm-hmm. You get further saying no. Mm. You get a lot further saying, no, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not kissing you. No, I'm not wearing that. Fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? And so the assumption that a woman that looks like me or, you know, looks beautiful woman equals promiscuous. Right. I've never understood how the two combined.
I don't understand why we do that to each other. It's really crappy.
And usually women are the biggest perpetrators of that thing. Calling a woman a hoe and loose morals and judgment and whatever else. So I've really actually never said this out loud. I've never felt like I wanted to invite this type of what energy. I consider to be a problem. I never wanted to address this conversation, but it has always been like a really, really sore spot. And it's been a trigger. I went to therapy and this came up in therapy for me because I realized that it was a trigger for me whenever people would insinuate that I was a woman of loose morals based on my career and the choices that I'd made. And I was like, I'm actually like really monogamous. I love being in a relationship with just and loving on one person, mm-hmm. but I don't have to justify that to anybody. But it seemed like it was always being called into question. And it frustrated me. And it frustrates me whenever I see, when I go on a beautiful woman's page who proudly displays her physical assets because she's proud of... Listen, if you young and beautiful and you popping, live it up.
Yeah.
Live it up, because one day you're going to be old and decrepit and ain't no one going to want to look at you.
Not Kripke.
Seriously, there's going to be a point in time happens. So
one day you're going to be haggard,
I'm not exactly saying...
So you better embrace that right now.
I'm not exactly saying go out in public with ass chaps. You know, but
why'd you point towards me? I'm not Lizzo.
No.
Oh my God.
No, because we're talking about it.
Wait, you dropping on the Jumbotron Blue? Jumbotron Blue?
Wait, no, Blue, because of your article.
My bad.
She writes.
Okay, you're right. We're high. I wrote an article about Lizzo called.
And you know what? Okay. And we're gonna in the show description, episode description, we're gonna post a link to that what you wrote, because I agreed with everything that you said.
Yeah, it's called For Big Black Girls Who Are Completely Apathetic to Lizzo's Bare Bottom.
Yeah, so
not everybody cares.
We diverged, but basically what I'm saying is a woman with beauty and looks and great body and stuff like that, stop shaming her. Listen, just stop projecting your bullshit onto her. Let her live. It's not harming anything that you do. Just leave her the fuck alone and stop insinuating that the promotion of beauty equals hoism. It doesn't. They are mutually exclusive concepts. So stop it. And that's what
I mean, look at Daisy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, seriously.
She stood up for that one.
Yeah. Yes,
seriously. Tabernacle.
I would definitely say that that is the one thing that people misinterpret about me. And also that I'm not intelligent. And I'm just like, so beauty and intelligence don't go hand in hand.
I don't know how anybody could think that. You need a dictionary talking to you. You know?
Not T.I.
So basically, the show is being hosted by Lizzo and T.I.
A mercenary.
Yeah. So I think that for me, the number one, and I'm so passionate about this. I'm passionate about it.
Yes, you are. I'm very passionate.
The number one thing that I dislike is people think they're scared of me when they really just respect me. Because here's the thing, right? I ask my friends all the time. If you say something I don't like, will I hit you? Like, will I just pop you in the mouth? They're like, no. I'm like, will I start screaming at you and cussing you out and calling out your name? And they're like, no. And I was like, so what would I do? They were like, you'd be disappointed in me and probably not talk to me for a while until we like fixed it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's called respect. I'm not Suge Knight. But what I think is people are so used to being able to talk crazy to each other. When you meet someone who's not about the shits, the act of being respectful and thinking before you speak is so foreign, you think that's fear. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people who respect me think they're scared of me. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sad because that means you haven't been respecting a lot of people.
Right.
Probably not yourself included. So I think the biggest misconception is that I'm scary. I'm not scary. I'm just completely living in the present. And I know my value and my worth. And I don't create a space where you have a chance not to. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest misconception. I'm not scary.
Kendall, what's the misconception about you?
People think like, oh, he's going to talk about me on social media. I don't talk about people.
But you're funny, though.
I'm like, well, what do I do?
Look, even Daisy doesn't believe you. She looked away.
But like, no, like, I talk about what's on TV. Like, after that, I don't care. I don't talk about what's happening. Like, people want to go into the April 5th thing with me. I'm like, look, I talk about what I see on TV, that's it. And that's it. When they see me, they feel like I don't want to do too much because you'll get on social media and blast me out. I don't care.
So they think you're messy.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Good. Angel, what is the misconception about you?
I feel like I have a few misconceptions. I'll go with the aesthetic situation. You know, since I was developed at 10, which was like traumatizing actually to me because I would have like old men hitting on
me out at 11.
Yeah.
They sent me home at 9 because the boys were watching me bounce on the bus.
Right.
And they were like, she can't come back until you strap that in.
And you're not aware of all that. Like at 9, you're not thinking about the fact that you're developed in certain ways and people are, you know, viewing you in certain ways. And you don't think about that. As you get older, you're made aware. But, you know, so the aesthetic, because you're built a certain way or you look a certain way, that means
that you're promiscuous or something. And it's just like, no.
Yeah. Like
actually, you hide. You run.
You do. Because once you realize what how people are seeing you, you just kind of want to.
And then that sense of shame kind of sits in deep.
It does. No, it does.
We talk about shame a lot on this show.
It chips away at you, like, slowly but surely. And you almost start to see yourself that way and wonder, like, well, am I this or that? Or, you know, whatever the case. And it's just unnecessary. And it comes from a very baseless place, you know, and it just doesn't make sense. Also, I think, too, that maybe I'm not nice or that I don't know. People.
Normally,
when people meet me, they say they thought that I had a, you know, was a certain way. And I don't know where that comes from, but it bothers me because I feel
it's
like
full circle.
No.
The biggest misconception is people like here. Melissa Ford.
I
get it often though.
No, he's right. I thought that you were gonna hate me because I was used to Black women like not liking me and abusing me in high school and junior high and stuff like that. So when we got on the set, I assumed you would hate me just based on like, oh, that's that video hoe Melissa Ford over there.
Which
you know
is
what I'm
so interesting because I've always assumed that certain people aren't gonna feel the same, that they're not gonna like me because I've dealt with that. You know, she thinks she's this mainly because I just strived to expand and strived for better and wanted to be the best that I could be. It always was translated into she thinks she's too good or she thinks she's better. And that was never it. It's just I felt like I was worthy of going for what I wanted to go for. And so I feel like there's that, and then that bothers me because I feel like I'm really a cool person, but it starts to get into your brain and it affects the way that I operate. I don't really build a lot of relationships or friendships because I just end up staying away because
we'll be your friend.
I feel like patty cake,
I still gotta fill you out a little bit.
Yeah, I get it.
Obi is the 50 Cent of this group, so you're the Rosen Island and you're the hit it. Curtis.
We needed her at the dinner table at Bossa Nova. Just saying, hashtag just saying.
We're not getting on that.
I know. Obi, go ahead. Misconception. There might not be.
I don't really know.
You're cool as a fan.
Thank you. See, other than like me being Nigerian and people think I can run fast.
Hey, I'm going there next week.
Other than that.
He can run fast.
Really?
I'm a tortoise. So,
you're a Taurus?
No, a tortoise.
Oh, okay.
He can't do shit. That's
yeah, but I would think barely probably
other everybody that. Loves you. Is your answer, Obi?
I don't, because this is the biggest, you know what? I will say this, that people think that I care about things more when I don't give a shit at all.
Oh, man.
Because, and there's a great book called The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's a good book.
Right, and that book has taught me that a lot of things don't fucking matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's like a lot of drama or gossip going on, no matter who I'm talking to or group chats or just seeing stuff online, I don't even give a fuck.
That's a good book, too.
It's a great book, too.
How do you find balance?
It's a little cold.
How do I find balance? Yeah,
because here's the thing. Not giving a fuck, like, imbalance is great. Too much is lame, actually. So how do you find that balance?
What's important to me is my focus and driven on what I want to do, right?
Yeah. So the things you do give a fuck about, you give a fuck a lot.
And then, I give a fuck a lot. And then with people I care about, but if I see, like, some stuff that it seems very, like, rudimentary, I'm like, why are you even worried about this?
Yeah.
Right. This means nothing. So the fact that I feel like you shouldn't be worried about this, I'm definitely not going to give a fuck about what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may end up talking to me, like, the next day and being like, hey, remember when I told you about such and such yesterday? And I'm like, nah.
Right.
I'm
good.
And that's probably my biggest thing, like, I'll be looking at you, but there's nothing going on.
Damn, homie. You mean gossip-wise? Or just I'm in general? Not, just the,
yeah,
the,
I'm
this.
Like, there's no reason.
Right, think about the next cartoon he's about to do.
Right.
All the time. All the time, yeah.
Okay, well, unfortunately, they're about to kick us out the studio. I don't know how I'm going to... I'm so glad I didn't drive
today.
We're
going to call a cab for everybody on set today.
We're
going
to call a cab for everybody because I am late.
And just to be clear, you guys, marijuana is legal in the state of California. There have been no illegal activities that have gone on today. We're all consenting adults having a great time, and we hope that we're inspiring you to do the same with your friends.
Oh, thank you for the disclaimer because I didn't have the ability to throw that out there. I'm just going
to
say that.
You know, y'all need to stop. Y'all were throwing chicken during my...
They throwing chicken.
Y'all are not going to start a food fight up in here.
This might be the blackest episode. Listen, I'm here for the food.
Wait,
for those who are listening on Spotify, there's chicken flying over my head like I am in Vietnam as I am trying to send us off.
I still have some responsibilities. I still have some responsibilities. Hold on. Let me get this stuff out here. Okay, for everybody who is listening on iTunes and Spotify, if you have not hit subscribe, please hit subscribe. YouTube, hit subscribe. Also hit that little bell because that will notify you every time we have a new episode.
Bing, bing, bing.
And if you think that the last 8 weeks of guests and banter has been fantastic, you just wait and see what 2020 has in store.
Because I'm coming back by my damn self. I got some shit to say. Because we ain't get through everything. They putting us the fuck out. Bitch, I'm coming back.
So,
by popular demand.
So Kendall is high. And for those of you who have only been listening to us and not watching us, if there was ever an episode where
that you needed to watch,
where you need the visuals,
yes,
let this be it.
Yeah, please let this be the
happy
episode.
Happy holidays or happy happy day that happens to be Christmas, depending on who you are.
What?
I think so.
We already kind of did the service. So my little producer at the back is, she's trying to remind me of some shit.
My little producer.
I'm trying to wrap this up three times.
I meant young. Listen, do not hold me to a standard.
Melissa,
right
just give the server tip of the day, Melissa.
I gave my server tip of the day.
Oh, you did? You gave it earlier.
And I can't remember what it is right now.
No, you already
now.
Gave it, though. My server tip of the day is... Make sure that you are around the right people because all of us have individually been judged. But look what happens when you find your tribe.
I have another server tip of the day.
You can have two?
Yes.
Must we have to wrap this up?
It's crass. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
No, that's it. Thank you.
That's it. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much. We had fun.
No, wait,
see y'all
no, we're
in 2020. I'm coming back by my
mother. No, we're making a second decision. And scene.
No.
We're signing out.
I just want to say this one last thing. I want you all to consider the source. Consider the source of every piece of information that you are given. We live in a world that is fake news right now. And that is one of my least favorite phrases right now. Because when we're considering like the New York Times, which is like the beacon of what the truth is, do not consider that to be fake news. Shut the fuck up, peanut gallery.
And on that note...
Don't do no fake news. Don't hit me with no Trump shit.
I'm laughing at Kendall smuggling your dog out of here.
Because she cold as fuck. Her mama got her hair with this little ass sweater on.
Bye, guys. Just wave goodbye, guys. Bye.
Wait.
She needs some body heat.
Wave goodbye.
This episode got hijacked from me.
Look at her. She has not shivered yet. Her mama had her ass in this bitch freezing.
Okay.
She was in there in Michigan.
Happy holidays.
Got her like she in Chicago.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.